Hello, everyone. So I am breaking my hiatus from the podcast to discuss season three of Netflix's You. This episode will pretty much exclusively be spoilers. So if you haven't watched season three of You, this is not the episode for you. But I am going to be talking just a little bit before I get into the series. So I said something on the last episode that I released, and I've wanted to record an episode ever since that one came out to say, record scratch. I will not, and I will never be releasing episodes on the P-Valley podcast that will be behind a paywall. That makes no sense at all, but that's okay. I was brainstorming on the mic. So, what I will do possibly at some point in the future is I will set up a Patreon, and that Patreon, as I said, it will, or that podcast, it will be about my recommendations and what I think is underrated and overrated. And the entire point of the podcast is not to be going on there and talking about well-known shit that's universally loved and praised and that people already know of. It's all about discovery. So it will, my recommendations will be things that you may not have heard of or just a reason why they should be appreciated or what, and reasons why things shouldn't be as appreciated. So it'll be about things that are underrated and overrated, and I will be getting my comic friends to go on there and join me as guests. And all of this is a maybe. I have a lot on my plate. I just wanted to go ahead and clear up what I said last time, which was I may put some episodes behind a paywall. Absolutely not. Everybody else has multiple podcasts for multiple subjects. I don't see why I should be the exception to the rule just because I am lazy. So I also mentioned that I was going through some hardships. I mentioned that in an episode, I think probably the last one. I mean, that's a little dramatic. Basically, I went through a breakup in August and I really wanted to discuss it in detail, in great detail. When I say wanted, I mean I still would love to discuss my breakup in great detail. However, I have just been at odds with myself about whether I should do that or not, because hearing what other people have to say, you could learn so much from their experiences and their mistakes. And so that's why I would love to discuss it, but it's just, I'm so incredibly mindful of the fact that sometimes you give people an inch, you let them in a little bit in your personal life. And there's absolutely no turning back, and they do feel that they deserve to know everything. So, if I choose to do an episode about that just because I feel like it, just because I have a podcast, and how often can you get on the mic after a breakup and record a podcast episode about it? I don't think you could do that often. So, that bombshell of an episode may come out. Maybe I'll record that and it'll come out at some point. I have no idea. I know that my ex may listen to that episode because he has told people about my podcast. So, but I'm fully aware of that he may listen to that episode, and I will not hold back just because I think he may be listening. I will not. But the episode would not be to slam him at all. The episode would just be about what I have learned from that experience. I'd make it spicy, though. I'm not trying to make it sound clinical. It would be a good episode, but we'll see. We'll see if we do that. And I have other updates that I'm keeping to myself. And I'm waiting on news for something that I pitched. And I should be finding out yay or nay soon. And I don't really know if I would even disclose that, but what the outcome of that is. But I'm definitely putting more time into pitching more things and working on more of the things that I love to do so much that you've got to make time for the things that you love, and it's a very, very difficult thing to do sometimes. So, shout out to me for not getting pregnant and not having any kids, so that I could actually do the shit that I could put all of my attention into and time into. All right. Okay. It is time to get into season three of You. Let's do this. So, up top, I also want to say that I have not watched the vast majority of TV shows. But that being said, I do believe that You is one of the most unique shows on television. And to prepare for this episode, I listened to a few podcasts that recapped season three of You, and I believe that they actually did a pretty dope job. And so I will be linking to those episodes of the podcast that I listened to in the description of this one. The first one I will link to is a guy and a girl. They are very turned up. They may not be your style, but I found their recap to be pretty funny at certain moments. They're intense. And then the other episode that I will link, it's a very legit and I think possibly somewhat popular podcast. And they do a really good job talking about character development and everything that's interesting to anyone who likes to just really go in depth about a TV show in a way that people who focus on that, they could excel at doing that obviously better than I can. So I like to share the wealth, so I'm going to link to those podcast episodes so you can go ahead and check them out if you liked season three of You, or if you just want to hear what other people have to say about it. So I believe that You is an important series, and I just want to remind you that this is not a recap, and this is really a practice run for me to see how I could discuss a show without telling you what happened in every single scene and sequence, like I was doing in my earlier recaps that are kind of embarrassing, but that's okay. So this is not a recap. I'm just going to be giving y'all some of the tea. I'm going to be talking about some of the standout moments, like the Swingers episode. So episode eight of You made this entire season worth it for me. It was the best. Loved every second of it. And it really makes me love the show. You just don't know what the hell is going to happen. You know some crazy shit is gonna go down because the people who are behind this show obviously are very creative and have clearly they have a lot of issues. So, again, I'm gonna be mentioning some stuff that I don't think that some other people talking about the series were really giving enough attention to. So You is unapologetically progressive. We got the dragging of the anti-vaxxers. That made me so happy and so proud to support this show. Thank y'all. We got the anti-vaxxers. We got letting people know that there is this phenomenon that is the missing white woman syndrome in mass media. Gabby Petito is the perfect example of that. They mentioned that in the show. They also mentioned that. Marianne mentions that the legal system favors someone. Scratch that. The show also talks about the legal system favoring someone like Love's mom because she's white and wealthy and that she can go to rehab to avoid jail time for arson. Meanwhile, Marianne loses custody of her daughter, and Marianne is the one who said that she is part of, quote, the system that was made by and for people like Ryan being her white ex. So You is gonna go there. Its writers does not care. If some viewers are offended, they are going to let you know where they stand on certain issues. They're gonna let you know they're progressive. And if you don't like it, get the fuck out. Because on Twitter, the anti-vaxxers were losing their mind over you being anti-vax, and it was so fun to see We are living in a very, very special moment in time where it is very clear who is stupid and who is not, who is an asshole and who is selfish and who is not. Take advantage of it, y'all. Take advantage. Because certain people, it's so obvious who the hell should be weeded out during these times. And I love you for just letting us know. If you are anti-vax, you are what they call, quote, anti-logic. So you also attempts to normalize bisexuality in men and non-monogamous marriages. So Carrie, Sherry's husband, says, quote, "A bisexual man is a great man," or something like that. That's not a direct quote. I couldn't really find that scene again when he said that. And Carrie's sexuality isn't even a footnote, and it does not, his bisexuality does not threaten his marriage or mean that he loves his wife any less. Like, Carrie is dedicated to his wife Sherry. He is batshit crazy in love with her, and just because he's able to, play on both teams, it doesn't pose any threat to his relationship, to his marriage. Doesn't mean he doesn't love his wife or just wants men all the time on the side. It was presented, Carrie's bisexuality was presented in such a healthy and normal way. It wasn't sensationalized in any way, and it's really thought-provoking, and it's so progressive, and it's really nice to see. We are making huge strides in what people think about the spectrum of sexuality, how fluid you are, and non-monogamy, and I appreciate that very much so in season three of You. I also love that Carrie and Sherry are a biracial couple, and race was not mentioned at any point. And it's rare for black women to have a white husband on TV. And I was sitting there watching the episodes, like, are they on some Bridgerton shit where biracial couples are just couples? And that's exactly what it was. It was never mentioned, which I also thought was super dope. And possibly because Sherry is like one of the whitest black girls ever. And I'm black and I'm saying that. I mean, Sherry. The woman who plays Sherry, I am now mildly obsessed with her because she crushed that role. She nailed it so well. I was like, man, her fucking Valley girl accent, her mannerisms, how like fake she is. That's who we meet every day, especially me living in SoCal. Like, it is flooded with people like, Sherry, and she just owned that role. So Sherry and Carrie, I stan them as a couple. They are the non-monogamous couple of the year. And I'm hoping, I would love for them to get a spinoff, honestly. Like, that's how much I love Sherry and Carrie. Like, give these two a spinoff about how they are swinging, how Carrie is dicking people down, how Sherry is being very vocal in bed. And just, they are not boring. They would keep me tuning in. They are so great. So I also love that Sherry and Carrie, they have been together since college. That's when they started dating. So I assume that they weren't always swingers and they only want to sleep with couples that are solid. And, they have their NDA and they have the rules in place for who they will sleep with. And so I thought that it was refreshing to see that they weren't presenting this couple as just being wild and sleeping with everybody and anything goes. No, they want to make sure that the couples that they hook up with, that their relationship is very, very firm and tight. And so they know what they're going into, that it should be just all fun and games, all casual. And I think people really need to think about if they do want to open up their marriage or their relationship, they need to put a lot of thought into it instead of just throwing caution to the wind and just diving in to see what happens. And now that I think about it, because I like rewatched that scene, Sherry ripped open a condom. I just thought about that right now. She ripped open a condom before she started fucking Joe. And so they also promoted safe sex. Bam! Super subtle, but very important. Just because you're grown and you're in a marriage and you're only sleeping with your husband, when you're opening that up, you better strap it up. So, shout out to the writers. Now I gotta continue to talk about sexuality when it comes to you because this show is extremely sexual. And I think it is very clear that the people who write for you, they have a raging oral sex fetish. And this fetish is entirely one-sided. Joe is presented as a master of eating a bitch out, and he will go down on you in the middle of a furniture store or when you're chilling in the kitchen. He don't give a fuck. Used writers seem to care about a woman's pleasure and a woman getting pleased more than they care about a man getting his dick sucked. The only time any woman has ever given a blowjob on the show is when Theo was getting head just to piss off Love. And I'm just like, that's literally the only time. Meanwhile, Joe, he can't wait. He's always trying to go down on a bitch at all times. And I just think that's really interesting to see that a woman is not just there as like a vessel for her guy to nut. I think this show does a really good job of showing that women want sex and they deserve sex and they need to be prioritized and you need to go down. You need to. You can't like, skip that part. So, side note, speaking of Theo, Victoria Pedretti, who plays Love, is dating the guy who plays Theo in real life. I stan. So I found this out by listening to one of the podcasts that I'm going to be linking to. The guy who plays Theo, he is actually 1 year older than Love is. That is Hollywood, okay? That is Hollywood when you are younger than someone, but you got to be playing a bitch who's much older. But I just love that they're dating. I love it. Whenever actors meet on projects, which I'm assuming is what happened with these two, and then they start fucking in real life, it's incredible just to watch, just to see their chemistry on screen, just in general. I'm happy. I think they make a cute couple. Theo looks great outside of the show. He's hot. He's tall. He's hot. He's sexy. You get it. So also when it comes to sexuality in this show, why was a counselor so obsessed with whether or not Love and Joe are fucking? They're coming to her with their problems and their marriage, and she's just like, "But are you fucking?" I was like, "This show is so crazy." And then she's like, "You guys are gonna have some really good sex. I'm just letting you guys know." That lady was really, really horny. And so another podcast said it, one of the podcasts that I linked to, and I wholeheartedly agree. And what they said is that Joe and Love, they always have great sex. Even when Joe is lusting for someone else, Joe and Love still fuck very well together. Their attraction and their chemistry with each other, it remains strong and unwavering if you think about it. And as a viewer of the show, it weirds me out that their sex is so great, but it's not enough for Joe. It's like he is just uncurable. I do not like his ass at all. Like, I have not liked Joe since season one. Still don't like him. That has not changed at all. I'll get into that more later. So the season three teaser made it seem like Joe's new obsession is his married neighbor Natalie, but then she's killed in the first episode. So season three, I wanted to know more about Natalie. I wanted to feel bad that she was a victim of Love's. But at the same time, it obviously was important for her to go in the first episode because it set up the entire season. I think that Natalie's way too sexy and too tall for Joe. Joe makes my skin crawl. I would never. Every girl wants to fuck Joe on this show, and he has no sex appeal. Okay, I take that back. Joe, his voice kills me. I am like a huge voice fetishist. I like a deep voice. I like a sexy voice. It is mandatory. Those are the only type of people I date, period. Full stop. But with Joe, he needs to eat. I feel like he definitely gained weight and he looks like he has a little more muscles. It looks like he has a little pec action going on. But he's short, he's scrawny, he's uptight, he's controlling, he's boring, he's this holier than thou snob and he's clingy. Where are his friends? I can't. I can't with him. I just think he's so gross and annoying and clingy. I can never date him. I can never date him. It's like, okay, physically He's handsome. He's a good-looking guy. He doesn't do it for me, but he's not the hottest, but then you're hoping that like his personality will tip the scale, and it doesn't. Like, he's not even funny. Not even that does he have going for him. He's just so fucking serious. And the only reason I would think somebody like Natalie would possibly want to fuck Joe is just because he's new dick, new meat in the neighborhood. That's it. Because other than that, she is way too sexy for him. And I just wish that they would give Joe bitches that are not as sexy as some of the bitches that he's had. Super random side note, I do not give a shit about Joe's flashbacks. I consider him a sociopath. That's all I need to know. I guess that, those flashbacks, they're useful for context, but not for me, other than the fact that we learned that he has a brother. I didn't need all these flashbacks. I thought it was a little excessive, and I mean, I just didn't care. I think he's psycho. So Joe, he's always jacking off. Like, he can't, when he's fantasizing about someone, like, he could never have a crush on a bitch without having to stroke it. He just can't. And so, is this what men really be doing in parking lots at night? So he's, jacking off, masturbating, and then Natalie, she approaches him, she gives him condoms, she gives him diapers. What? These writers are so weird. And what a weird way to hit on someone. Condoms and diapers. And how did Natalie even find Joe in the freaking parking lot jacking off? Like, is she a stalker bitch too? Natalie said something that has me very shook. She said how breastfeeding is not birth control. That's all I've ever heard. So she's like, no, it's not. You could still get. I'm like, well, I don't know. I need to do my research. If somebody knows the answer to that and wants to help me out, please go ahead, DM me. I appreciate the death fake outs that this season had with Carrie and Theo. And now I'm going to move on to Miss Mary Ann, Joe's Natalie replacement obsession. It's time for me to talk about Ms. Mary Ann. Full stop. What is going on with Mary Ann's eyebrows? I think that they were doing too much. She's a pretty girl. The eyebrows really bothered me. They distracted me. They were just too thick, too straight. It was the makeup, the whoever does the makeup, like, step it up, bitch. Step it up. Do something with your cast members that you're working for. Like, the eyebrows, it was a lot. It was a lot for me. So I don't want to see Marianne in season 4 with those same eyebrows. If you're gonna bring her back with those same eyebrows, please just keep her away from the show. Thank you. So I did not like I do not like how different from Joe's type that Marianne is. Candace, Beck, and Love, all pale white bitches, with tits or ass. Marianne, she doesn't fit the mold. She's a unique beauty, absolutely unique beauty, but she doesn't seem to be what Joe is into, and I don't like that. I just didn't really buy why he was so into this bitch. It doesn't track for me. Moving along with the season, I wanted them to draw out the plot twist of Love's pregnancy scare across multiple episodes, because once I found out that bitch fucked Theo in the woods and she may be pregnant, especially after we hear Natalie talking about, breastfeeding ain't no birth control, I just would have liked to see that. Her anguish and worry just being drawn out. Like, how dope would it have been for her to just be pregnant and then the baby is Theo's? And then, I thought they could have done more with that. Just selfishly, I wanted to just see Love squirming over that. Because I love the suspense whenever a show makes you question who the baby daddy. Another thing that I found very fascinating this season was that Love was texting her dead twin brother 40. And I never thought about this. Like, losing someone that I had texted often, I think it's a genius idea to still be texting them. And I see how that could just be so addictive. And so I enjoyed that, we were brought into Love's grief when we had her narrate an episode when she's talking about connecting with 40 when we hear her talking to 40. I thought it was pretty brilliant and it was very moving. And so I don't even think that I could ever delete the contact of a dead person from my phone ever. And it was just interesting and powerful to see love do that. And just that has to be hard. You know, now that we could have all these texts with people, I could see why we'd want to be drawn to still be texting people who are no longer with us. And I appreciate the sensitivity that they gave to that and the closure that love got and that we got as viewers. Because she was really thrust into, love was thrust into this new environment, new city, new baby, new marriage. And I like that they didn't keep 40 out of this season because that's her twin brother, for the love of God. And that's done often on shows. They just, you know, something that's life shifting, they act in the following season, they act like it never even happened. So I really appreciate that we did still get to see how much love was affected by the loss of her brother. So one of my absolute favorite scenes of this season is when Love's batshit crazy mother takes Henry to get some Mexican food. The way that she was saying she has to get some gordadas, it took me out. That shit sent me, it had me laughing out loud. It was just, they wanted to remind us of how white people, at least in that scene, a non-Mexican or non-Spanish speakers, how they mispronounce like the most basic, the most basic Spanish words, and it was gore that does. Like she was doing the most when she was requesting her food, and Henry, the little baby that played Henry, he looks up at her and he's so precious, and I really wanted to grab him. I literally wanted to have this little baby in my arms, so I could just hug and squeeze this and kiss that cute little baby. My God, that baby was so cute in that scene when he's just looking up at her, his fat cheeks and itty bitty face. My ovaries were really just exploding. They were just, it was too much for me to handle. So now we are going to get into the Swingers episode, baby. It's called Swing and a Miss. It is episode 8. It is everything. Carrie shows up to Joe and Love's house with two suitcases of supplies. Everybody stands up and they're sipping wine. And everybody gets up and they're shaking. And Carrie yells out, "Total liberation!" Okay, Carrie is the comedic relief that this show desperately needed outside of Miss Gordata's. Carrie delivered. He delivered and he made me laugh from the moment you meet him. He's talking about a bisexual man is this, that, and the other, and he's psycho, and it works. It's perfect. So the safe word, of course, is Hakuna Matata. I mean, thank y'all for giving us so much comedic relief in this goddamn episode. I mean, you have to have a funny ass safe word, a corny ass, cheesy ass, hilarious safe word. If you're going to be having such a crazy ass episode, just turn it all the way up. So Carrie says that their night is a marathon, and he doesn't say this, but he does have a shit ton of dildos and toys. He don't play no games. If Carrie is there to fuck, he is there to fuck. And he said it's a marathon, and I trust it and I believe it. Like, I would love to fuck Carrie. Like, you know, Sherry and Carrie, please move to my neighborhood, okay? So I could have fun with y'all because I already know that Carrie knows how to fuck. That there's no question, absolutely no question. I love when Carrie told Joe, you know, look at my dick. Or, you could look at it, look at my dick. Carrie was so great, so funny. How often do you hear that somebody being telling somebody, instructing somebody to look at their dick? So good. Oh, chef's kiss on the writing. So Carrie is masturbating in the mirror, and we as viewers, we're given the nudity that we deserve. Now, I hope that they keep the male only nudity going, theme going. This isn't the norm, obviously, in TV and movies. And it makes me wonder, like, who is working behind the scenes and doing such a great job? Thank you. I mean, I don't mind seeing Carrie naked. He clearly works out. So all Sherry and Carrie wanted to do was fuck. But like everybody else who just fucks Joe, like, it means you have to die. It means you gotta go. And so they went there just to fuck and to like allow their friends and neighbors to spice up their marriage. Next thing they know, they are in this torture basement dungeon, soundproof box type of thing. And I wish we would have seen how they got there, because Carrie could easily knock Joe out. So I just would have loved to enjoy to see how the fuck did Carrie and Sherry, who are both bigger than love, and Joe, how the fuck did they get down the stairs into this goddamn basement? And if I'm going to be talking about Sherry and Carrie in the basement, in this torture box, Joe's favorite toy, whatever I should call that shit, I cannot stand love this entire series. I wanted the bitch to go. Now, I stan Victoria Pedretti. I've only seen her in You. I heard somebody say that all of the other work that she's done on Netflix is entirely different than You. I've only seen her in You. And when I saw her in season two, I was like, this girl is it. Like, she is a brilliant, brilliant actress. I really want to see her career explode. I feel that she could really take on just about any role. I think she's an immense talent. And it's funny because I saw a tweet by someone who said that she couldn't act. Somebody legit said that Love is a really bad actress and she can't act and shit. Hilarious. Hilarious. It just goes to show that people with bad taste and who don't know what they're talking about, they will go ahead and troll on the internet. That person could not have been more off the mark. Every single person is always talking about how brilliant of a fucking actress Victoria is, because she is. She is great. So who, like, and you think that's not acting? Then what's acting? You know, it's just like, I've talked about acting before on this podcast. When I was talking about the guy from Bridgerton, you know, saying how he's not that great of an actor because he's not. And, you know, Victoria, she's great. Phenomenal. So back to the show, you know, Love was so unlikable. I really wanted her gone. And a lot of fans on Twitter, they were devastated that Love was killed. I love Victoria's acting. The only reason why I would want Love to survive is so I could continue to enjoy how transformative her, performances are, you know, but other than that, she needed to go. I couldn't stand her. I wanted her to be killed the entire series. When she goes and gives Sherry and Carrie a gun and tells them to kill, you know, one of them's got to kill the other. I just needed her. Like, my clock was ticking. It was ticking. It was like, please let Love be murdered. These people, like, you know, Love said that to her fucking friend, like the woman who befriended her in this Madre Linda town. She's like, bitch. Either you're going to die or you're going to live the rest of your life regretting meeting me and that your husband is dead. Like, those were her options. It was too morbid and disturbing and sick, sadistic and cruel. These writers, y'all are really, really doing the most sometimes. And I like that, though. They, like with You, they set the bar high for the bullshit. Right? And I appreciate it because they've been consistent. They've definitely been consistent and they've 100% stepped it up. So then Joe brutally stabs Marion's ex. Joe pushes Marion's ex, Ryan, as you saw, but again, Joe weighs like 90 pounds, so I'm not buying it. And then he's there stabbing Marion's ex, and it's pretty much broad daylight. Whatever the equivalent of nightlight is. And he's just wearing a baseball hat and he walks away and some girl sees this guy bleeding out and she's not even like, clearly this guy stabbed him to death. You know, again, made for TV, clearly. Yeah, I didn't like Ryan. I didn't really care for how graphic his death scene was. And I think Joe is too scrawny for all these murders. That's one of my main issue with the show from the beginning. I just don't see him being able to murder people violently in the way that he does, and to just carry bodies that weigh three times what he does, 2 to 3 times as much as he does. I'm not buying it. I really wish that Joe was a much bigger guy that I could just look at and say, okay, he could carry a body, he could handle this. But scrawny ass Penn Badgley, nope, not buying it. So because Love is completely insane and they want us to be reminded of how insane she is every given moment, she wants another baby. And if I'm not mistaken, Love says this at the beginning of of the final episode, because it was like I'm about positive, the final of episode 10, because I scanned it all again. And I love it. She's there. She thought she killed Theo, and she's like, I want another baby. Like, she's so gone. So Joe, the way that he murdered Love, the way that I got justice, and Joe got justice, so to speak, and Natalie and Love's other victims, the way that Joe murdered Love, it was creative, and it was a total departure from the way that everyone else has died in the series up until now. I appreciated it. I thought it was pretty dope. And now I will get on to a few things that were very ridiculous about season three. So Love comes from money, and she opened up a thriving bakery, but she ain't got no staff. Ever. At no point ever do we see a single person helping the bitch cook her hundreds of fucking items that are selling out every day, and people are placing big orders, and it ain't no thing. She's just churning this shit out when the entire premise and foundation of a bakery is that your goods are fresh. I'm not into it, y'all. Do you gotta be this sloppy? You gotta be this sloppy with the writing. You couldn't give her just an intern. Not even in a goddamn intern. I also gotta say that the casting department seriously needs to level the fuck up. And by level up, I mean pay attention. Because Henry was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby in episode one. All of a sudden, he's a brown-haired, brown-eyed baby a few episodes later. Do better. Y'all are paid way too much money for this shit. This show has insane numbers for Netflix. Y'all don't gotta be this damn sloppy. Everyone's suicide note is typed in double spaced with the same font. This is a problem, okay? Especially because, Joe is always like right at the scene when everybody else is murdered off. And they all are typing out these suicide notes. It feels homophobic to leave Love and Joe's demon baby with the gay couple, half of which includes is a blind man. What the fuck? Like, Joe, you really gave your demon baby to these sweet gay people? No, that baby is like, look at the genes that baby is working with. I do not think that baby should be given to a sweet gay couple. Hard no. I'm sorry. I would be putting that baby up for adoption, okay? If I was that gay couple and I heard about what happened in the paper after Love was killed, I'm not raising that baby. So which leaves us to the big scene where, Joe sets the house on fire. Why did Joe cut off his toes and then set the house on fire? Doesn't that make cutting the toes off pointless? Okay, I have questions. So I agree. In conclusion, y'all, I agree with what everyone is unanimously saying across the board. You announced that season four will be coming out. They announced this before, or Netflix did, sorry, announced that before season three even premiered. And everybody is saying that the show could have ended with season three. I agree, but I could see how the show. And everybody is saying it absolutely must end at season four or five. I co-sign this 100%. So I think a lot would need to be crammed into season four for it to end at season four. So I don't think that season four necessarily has to be the last season, but season 5 100% does because they're doing too much. I do not want to see Joe's ass in Paris, primarily because I think Paris is overrated. I don't care for it. I don't want to listen to Joe's bad French accent. Like, I don't really have the stomach for that. He's already an asshole fuck boy, crazy selfish. It don't matter who he's fucking. He got to be fucking and stalking someone else and murdering. He's annoying as shit. Don't like his personality. I don't need to see him taking that shit abroad. You know, so I'm hoping that if Joe is going to be speaking French and they're going to have people like me having to read the subtitles, please hire exceptional language coaches that will allow him to nail his French pronunciations and re-record and re-record. Do not treat Joe speaking French like y'all treated Henry, where you the baby was blonde-haired and blue-eyed in the beginning and then dark-haired and dark-eyed in the end. Don't do that shit. So please, if you're going to have him speaking French, don't be sloppy with it. Don't do it, Netflix. So, as was mentioned in another podcast, like I said, I linked to two of them. Joe has left a very long trail of people who think he's sus. From season 1 to season 3, there are friends, lovers, and relatives of his victims who may piece together that he is responsible for the murders of all these people. So that's another reason why I really hope that season 4 does not take place in Paris, because if it is the final season, Joe needs to be incarcerated or murdered in his homeland. I don't need to see him doing that in Paris. So the season 3 trailer, remember, it made it seem like the entire season was going to be about his obsession with his hot neighbor Natalie, but Natalie was gone, murdered off in the very first episode. So I'm hoping that just because we see Joe in Paris, he could just be there for one episode as well. Just because they teased that out doesn't mean that that's what the entire season is going to be about, because look at what happened to Natalie. Like, we don't even know her middle name. We just know she's Natalie Angler. That's it. So he could be in Paris and then he could board a plane and go back to the States. But there's a lot that they can do with season 4. I don't want any of it to involve Marianne. I just don't think they're a good pair. I don't see it. I don't see the attraction to her. The only thing that the reason why I think he might be connected to Marianne is she's into books. I think Joe needs to be with a book bitch, right? Like, a book bitch. That's who he needs, because, and then maybe he won't kill her. Maybe his love of books will, like, make his love for her so deep. But I don't like Marianne for him. Marianne's ex was murdered off. I don't see why she needs to flee to Paris now. I also really didn't like how, you know, when Marianne is talking about how her ex was killed, she's like, I'm glad he's gone. You're glad the father of your daughter was brutally stabbed to death on the street? I'm not really buying that, especially because it's not like her daughter is one. No, her daughter's going to go to school and her classmates are going to be like, your dad was stabbed down in the street. That is traumatizing. And yeah, he was a dick, but didn't she love him at some point? Her reaction to him being gone was gross. Not into it. And I don't need to see her in season 4. No Marianne, new bitch that he's going after. But I want it to be consistent if it is the same theme and it's not like him, his secrets coming out and him running from the law. I want him to have a bitch that he's into for the entire season. Whereas this season, it shifted from Natalie to Marianne very quickly and then continued with Marianne. And Marianne's not doing it for me as a love interest, so I don't want it. The episodes that I linked to, the second one, they're the ones who, you know, talked about how Joe has really left this trail, and they talk about some possible shit in season 4. I pretty much cover that. So thanks for listening. I know that hearing one person talk is not the easiest thing in the world. I hope it wasn't too challenging. If you like the show, it shouldn't have been too challenging. As a reminder, I'm still on hiatus. I will probably be back with new episodes early next year. But I have a sneaking suspicion that P-Valley won't return until at least March. That's just a random suspicion, considering how long it takes in post-production. And I want my P-Valley podcast episodes to be posted around 1 to 2 months before the show returns. So it might be a while until I have a new epi, but if you subscribe, you obviously will know what the hell is going on. And then if I miss podcasting or if I'm a fan of a show like you, then I'm gonna grab the mic. Or if I wanna get on and talk about my relationship, or if I wanna get on and embarrass myself and talk about my relationship, yeah, I definitely there it is likely that I will be getting on and doing a few new episodes within the next few months before I start back with the P-Valley content. So when you subscribe, you know what the hell the deal is. And yeah, I'm only gonna post about this episode. The only reason why I'm gonna post about this episode on the social media for the podcast is because I want Joe Goldberg to send me a package like he did to Cardi B and other people. That's the only reason why I'd want Netflix to do that, even though I had some shade for them a little bit. But all the shade that I had for y'all Netflix people in this episode, they are just shit that you should be on top of and be like, you know what, that bitch is right. Henry shouldn't have been like a two different races, you know? So I think I'll do that, but as I said, I'm not really fucking with the social media for this podcast. It makes me happier. Because I went from like devoting time into it to like, nope, not doing that shit. People find the podcast if they find it, if they want to, whatever, not that serious. That has brought me joy, just taking away the hopes and the expectations that I had for it. And that's all part of why these episodes have been infrequent. It needs to bring me joy. It needs to make me happy. If it ain't gonna make me money, it needs to make me happy. So that's about it. It was pretty dope. My last episode, I had a very outside, like if I do an interview with somebody, people listen to the episode in its entirety. And the other episodes, maybe they won't listen to 100% of the episode, but I was really happy to see like people really, really listen to the entirety of my last episode, which was really, really great. So just thanking y'all for your support and if I don't get back before, towards the end of the year, I just want to say happy holidays and that I hope that your next year will be your absolute best yet. Take care.